Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, the unauthorized autobiography of Kim Jong-il. We'll talk to the celebrity ghostwriter who's mining North Korean propaganda for a book even the late Supreme Leader would approve. We'll also revisit The Invisible War, a documentary on the shockingly common incidents of sexual assault in the military. But we begin with spying in space. The existence of planets outside our solar system was first confirmed in 1992. Since then, hundreds of extrasolar planets have been identified. NASA's Kepler mission has detected more than 18,000 potential planets, some inside the so-called Goldilocks zone or habitable range. Now the American Museum of Natural History is breaking new ground in the observation of far-distant planets using high-tech spectroscopy and navigation software. On the line with more to talk about what's being called Project 1640 is Ben Oppenheimer, associate curator at the American Museum of Natural History. He's also professor of astrophysics. Ben, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Greetings.
Okay, say that word for me, please. Spectroscopy?
Spectroscopy, yeah. It's a little bit of a tongue twister.
So what is Project 1640?
Project 1640 is something we've been working on for about 10 years, and it's a large part of it is developing new technology so that we can routinely see planets orbiting nearby stars, but more importantly, capture their spectra. And that is a critical measurement that we do in astronomy. It's sort of how we find out everything about the objects we're looking at.
So this technology using spectroscopy, what can it detect or reveal that other observation methods cannot?
So what it basically does is you're measuring the brightness of an object at different colors, different wavelengths of light. And that's a very critical thing to do because every molecule absorbs light at very well-defined and known wavelengths of light. So if, for example, something like ammonia is present in the object that you're looking at, it will absorb specific wavelengths of light, and you'll see that signature in the spectrum. So basically what we're able to do is start to measure the chemical compositions of these distant planets.
So it's not so much like taking a photograph, it's creating a portrait based on its composition?
Yeah, but we do also take images. So what Project 1640 does is it takes images simultaneously at 30 different wavelengths of light, or colors, if you will, and then we can look at a particular object in the image and see how it changes from color to color. If it gets dimmer at one place and brighter at another, that will be indicative of a particular molecule, such as methane, carbon dioxide, or ammonia.
Okay, so what has spectroscopy revealed about the planets that you've actually observed, and anything groundbreaking here?
Well, that's the exciting thing. These four objects, which we've made these measurements for, are a little bit odd. They don't seem to correspond to any other known types of objects like stars or brown dwarfs or even the planets of our own solar system. And I think that's the most exciting thing. The indications from finding all these planets over the past 20 years or so has been that there is a huge diversity in what they're like.
Mm-hmm.
And these four are neither similar to each other or any other ones we know of. So, you know, this notion of diverse population of planets is something that we've certainly confirmed here.
Mm. So is the system that you're observing there, would it have any mirrors to our own? Is the sun's system similar to our own, anything like that?
The star that these planets are orbiting is actually quite different from our sun. It's five times brighter. It's about 1.5 times the mass. It's a much hotter star. So actually it exudes far more UV radiation, ultraviolet radiation, than our sun does. And that can induce very peculiar chemistry in the atmospheres of planets. Certainly on Earth this happens. Various hazes are induced by UV radiation. But in the case of these things, with a sort of tentative assignment, we think we saw acetylene, maybe hydrogen cyanide in the atmospheres of these things, which is kind of unexpected. But perhaps with the UV radiation, That's one explanation for it.
I wonder how precise a picture you can get, especially from this distance.
Well, what the resolution of our instrument is fairly low, but part of the problem here is that the star is so bright that the technology has to first remove the starlight and then allow you to see the planets. And so we're just getting started with this kind of remote reconnaissance business of these other solar systems. Ultimately, we want to get very high resolution so you can actually see atomic species and things like oxygen and stuff like that. Those would be signs of perhaps biological activity on a distant planet. I'm hoping in about 10 or 20 years we can come out with a paper like that.
How groundbreaking is this? I mean, I wonder if you and all your colleagues are just jumping up and down when you see this.
Well, yeah, we've been very excited about it. There are a number of other instruments similar to this coming online in the next year or so. For example, the Gemini Planet Imager, which we're also part of. And we've basically proven this technique, and now the goal is to use it on many other systems and see what else we find. We're going to survey roughly 200 stars in the next 3 years. The planets have to be there for us to find something, but I'm hopeful.
Well, when looking upon these very, very, very distant planets, do you ever wonder if anyone's looking at us?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the interesting things about the Kepler mission, which you mentioned earlier, is that it looks as though something like a quarter of sun-like stars may have an Earth analog around it. Now, that's very exciting. And if you look at the volume of space that our powerful radio waves have emanated from, roughly 70 light years distance, there are probably three or four Earth-like planets that our radio transmissions have gone over.
I hope we get to speak with you about them again, Ben.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ben Oppenheimer, Associate Curator of the American Museum of Natural History and a Professor of Astrophysics. Ben's lead author of a paper on the first chemical fingerprints detected from planets outside of our solar system, orbiting a star 128 light years away from Earth. We posted links to more on the project on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio.